Welcome to MLB.com Extras, the Oakland A's. I'm Richard Justice, joined by Allison Footer and Jane Lee, who has covered the A's for several years. Allison, first of all, let me just say this about the A's. It's maybe the perfect team. It may be the perfect clubhouse environment with the most perfect manager. All the guys play. He rotates three catchers around. They have all these guys that probably thought their careers were over, like Brandon Moss and Scott Kazmir, Jesse Chavez. It is a sweet, sweet place to be in that Oakland clubhouse. Are you half as impressed with the A's as I am?
Jeez.
How's that for a lead-in?
I'll start polishing their World Series trophies right now.
Right.
Or did you get your ring size ordered yet? No, I think that I would agree with you. I mean, I think that they'd have to be the favorites at this point, but the trade that they just pulled off and how everything was pretty harmonious even before that, that they were having the best start to the season that they'd had maybe in their history, but certainly in the last several decades, and that everything is coming together. Now, Billy Beane is being very modest, and everyone's kind of chuckling at his comment that, well, we got to get to the playoffs first, and that's why we made this deal. But I think that that's a no-brainer. And I think you have to handicap it to where the A's are going to be playing, still be playing on October 21st and beyond.
We're going to bring Jane Lee into the conversation now. Jane, one of the things Billy has said is, in Oakland, we don't have a lot to offer in terms of bricks and mortar. We don't have the best stadium, and we don't pay the we don't have the highest payroll and all that stuff, but we treat players like men. We think players like playing here. And I go back to the 80s. It seems like players who play in Oakland love the experience. And you've gone through different managers, different generations of players. Can you talk about the atmosphere in the clubhouse that you cover and why it seems to be filled with guys just having the time of their lives?
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. Guys love playing here. And I think it goes back to them, being allowed to be themselves. When they're brought into this organization, they're told, just be yourself. We're going to put you in the best possible position to succeed. And that's what they do. I mean, you take a guy like Brandon Moss, who had bounced around a couple organizations, was considering just quitting baseball together and becoming a fireman. And then the A's jumped in and said, hey, come over here. You don't have to be a slap hitter like they were trying to make him be in Pittsburgh and a little bit in Boston. You can be that power guy. We know you're going to strike out your a fair share, but you're also going to hit your fair share of home runs, and he has. And, when you allow guys to do what they're good at, a lot of confidence comes with that. And I think you're seeing it so much with the platoons. I mean, you have guys like Brandon Moss and Derek Norris, who are all-stars, who just a year ago were in very strict platoons. And now the platoons aren't so strict this year only because they're having success against, both lefties and righties. And that's only a product of them succeeding, last year and enjoying that success. And with all that success, of course, Billy's never been a huge believer in chemistry, but obviously, it's a product of winning, and they've been doing a lot of winning, so there has been a lot of chemistry, but it's just a loose clubhouse. I mean, even Jeff Samardzija comes in just a couple days ago, and yesterday he was talking about, these are my type of guys. Some people think maybe I'm too cocky, but it's all about just wanting to win, and these guys want to win. And you see that right away. I mean, you walk into the clubhouse, both of you have, and it's just something you sense very, very quickly there.
It's pretty nice when you have when you have to bump Tommy Malone out of the rotation to make room for Samardzija. And Malone, I guess, what was he like, 6-0, 2.62 ERA since about the second week of May. So depth being obviously that's the way that the Oakland A's have been able to survive for as long as they've been able to survive is having tremendous depth and having a wonderful farm system. So that has to be sort of a key to this whole story, I would think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I mean, you have a guy like Jesse Chavez, who was in the bullpen most of last year, kind of off the radar in years prior, sticks around the rotation when they option Malone and then goes out last night and shuts down the Giants for 6 innings. And that was a tough decision for them. I think Malone going down might be temporary just because Jason Hamill is on the same schedule as him, so Malone would not have been needed anyway before the break. But after the break, I mean, they have a ton of options, and they can use, you know, 5-6 guys, including Malone, to just kind of give some other guys, you know, extra rest now. And then you have Sonny Gray pitching in his first major league season. Scott Kazmir, they're still being a little bit careful with, since he didn't get up to that many innings last year. And then Jesse Chavez, who's been in the bullpen most of the previous few years. So you have all these guys that they're trying to be careful with, and you could do that without ever skipping a beat by, you know, using 6 guys that are all, you know, proven starters. I mean, any team would love to insert, you know, a Tommy Malone or Jesse Chavez into, you know, the front line of their rotation. The A's are just kind of dangling them in the back, and it's pretty remarkable.
Jane, Billy Beane is such an overwhelming, larger-than-life presence, and deservedly so. If he doesn't go to the Hall of Fame, someday it'll be a crime. But the guy that is never, probably because he works for Billy, is never going to get the credit he deserves is Bob Melvin. He is a guy, and correct me if I'm wrong here, it seems to me the players like him, and they respect him, and they trust him. And Bob is a guy without ego. He's comfortable with Billy being Billy and letting the guys be themselves. I mean, it is really the perfect fit of a guy coming back to his hometown to manage his favorite hometown team. Very cool that to see Bob have this type of a success. Could you just talk about what impresses you about Bob Melvin?
Yeah, I mean, everything that you said. And it's funny because it almost feels like you can't remember a time when he wasn't here, just because he fits so well with the team and with the organization. You know, it's not an easy job coming in and being under a guy like Billy, as you said. You know, they're pretty set in their ways, especially, you know, just when it comes to lineup maneuvering. But Melvin has their trust, and that is rare. And I think, you know, they work together, and that's a big part of it. And I think when you have that kind of just fluid communication at the top of the organization, it just kind of breeds to just as much communication, you know, in the clubhouse. And that's one thing Melvin does great, is communicate with his players. And you have to when you're dealing with a clubhouse of so many platoon players. You know, guys know almost, you know, up to a week in advance, you know, what days they're expected to start, when they should expect to come off the bench, and then you go down to the bullpen. And, you know, at the start of the year, it looked like they were pretty set in their roles with Jim Johnson at closer and guys like Sean Doolittle and Luke Gregerson setting him up. And when that didn't work out, they had to do some shuffling. So for about a month, they were kind of playing the hot hand, going with matchups in the later innings. And even though it didn't exactly work out as planned, and they ended up going with Sean Doolittle at closer, which has worked out great for them, you know, it wasn't because of a lack of communication in the bullpen. Guys knew when to expect to get up. Guys knew when they were going to get the call. And that's a big deal. I think that goes a long way for guys like relievers and then, you know, also platoon guys. And, I mean, not just the communication, just the way he treats them, shows them respect and gets it back. If he really is a player's manager, I think every single guy in that clubhouse absolutely loves playing for him. And, you know, in dealing with him for several years now, you know, I have no complaints about the guy. You don't want to say perfect, but he is as perfect of a manager as you can get.
I was pretty impressed with Chili Davis. I spent a little time talking to him at spring training, and while I'm hesitant to really, you know, I kind of bristle when people try to put too much blame on coaches when things don't go well. I also think that they don't really get enough credit sometimes. It seems like he's really made a difference. I mean, I talked to some of the hitters, and he seems to be a great communicator, and he really understands everything that these guys are going through, and he seems to be able to detect the best thing that he can bring out in each hitter, and he seems to have been successful at doing that. What are your opinions of Chili Davis?
Yeah, he had. I mean, he's done all those things, and he's done it, you know, pretty under the radar in a quiet manner, which I mean, if you're the hitting coach and you're not making news, that's a good thing. It means you're doing your job. And he is just one of those guys, just a pleasure to sit down and talk baseball with. I mean, one of the smartest guys, you know, around the game, and particularly, of course, you know, when it comes to hitting. But he can, you know, sit down and dissect any one guy in that clubhouse. And what he's able to do best is just kind of separate, you know, each guy and not try to lump them, you know, into one group and try to do the same thing with them. He knows that they all, you know, need individual attention, need, you know, different individual ways of doing things. And, you know, guys learn different from other guys. And I think Chile is able to identify those different ways quickly and adjust to those and work with guys, you know, as need be. And, I mean, I know, you know, there's been several guys, as good as this team has been, there have been several guys this year going through their slumps, guys like Josh Donaldson even, Jed Lowry, Cespedes has had, you know, his few weeks of just kind of up and down production at the plate. And they're in there early with Chile because, you know, they trust him, they respect him, and they're not trying to just, you know, get by and figure it out on their own. They're going to him, and, I mean, he's in there almost as early as Bob Melvin on any given day, and that's pretty early. So he is a big part of this, but like I said before, I mean, the fact that you don't hear about him is a good thing, you know, because you're just quietly doing his job, almost like Melvin.
Jane, Josh Donaldson is just an amazing story. He was a catcher and an outfielder, and I guess he's only been a third baseman for like 3 years. The A's took him out and started hitting him ground balls and said, yeah, he can do this. And he's the best defensive third baseman in the game by miles. If there's an American League MVP vote today, he and Mike Trout, he probably finishes second to Mike Trout, even though his batting average is not great. What's it like? A guy like that obviously has a fire, a competitive fire, burns to succeed. Tell us what he's like in your time around him.
He's always been a confident guy. And you knew that he had that star potential just by his personality alone. I don't know that anyone ever saw this coming with what he's doing. I mean, like you said, he was catching for several years in the organization. Not even considered a top prospect, just kind of hanging around, had a few stints in the big leagues here and there with them. And then one day Scott Sizemore goes down to injury, and they told Josh that very second, you know, take off your catcher's gear, go grab a glove. And from that second on, he was working with Mike Gallego, their infield coach. And, I mean, they spent hours upon hours. And you look up, and it almost seemed like an overnight sensation, like, how did this happen? When did this happen? And you can't remember a time when he wasn't, you know, one of the best defenders in the game. But he's just, you know, he grew up, it was just him and his mother growing up. And I think watching his mother do what she did, you know, raise a child on her own, had a lot to do with who he is now. You know, just seeing how she worked and how she succeeded, with not much to go on. I mean, that's kind of what he's done. And he's a very special guy. I don't want to say he's cocky, but he does have a little bit in him, but in a good way. And I think most of it's just confidence. And, you know, when he's down, he is frustrated because he's so passionate about this game. And I think, you know, even though he isn't, his batting average right now isn't where he wants it to be, and everyone's saying, oh, well, is this the real Josh Donaldson? I don't think so at all. I mean, you see his defensive game. You see his swing is very special. And this is a guy they want around in that clubhouse for a long time to come.
Let's wrap.
Richard, do you want to wrap or do you want me to wrap?
Yeah, no, I'll wrap it up. Hey, Jane, we appreciate your time today. I hope you're enjoying covering that team. It seems like from the outside looking in, it's about as much fun to cover that team as any team. So enjoy it. Ride the wave while you got it, because, as you know, it's not always like this.
I know. You know, after this busy, you know, few weeks they've had with this All-Star announcement and the big trade, and, you know, they keep winning also, you kind of – you know, you can't catch your breath. And then when you do, it's like, oh, wow, this is pretty cool. This is something special.
All right. Thank you, Jane. We'll talk to you down the road.